with him in the Ecuadorian embassy. Go to our website at democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Renee Feltzer, Amato Nermin Sheikh, Dina Guzder. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, where the time is now 7:59. Coming up next is more talk radio with our hosts Cecil Prescott and Celeste Carey. Today we'll hear a discussion on activism and what inspires us or defeats us.
KBOO Community Radio invites you to our springtime open house and live in-studio performance of Mama C, Saturday, March 21st from 1 to 5 p.m. Tour the KBOO studios and meet your community. Share refreshments and talk with other listeners, program hosts, volunteers, and KBOO staff. See how our communities intersect and work together to create this amazing community radio station. We'll also have a live performance by Mama C, an accomplished musician, poet, and MC, as well as a former Black Panther and political refugee who fled the U.S. in early 1970s for Tanzania. Again, that's Saturday, March 21st, from 1 to 5 p.m., an open house and live performance by Mama C at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, your community radio station, KBOO Portland. We look forward to seeing you.
I'm sorry, folks. We're having some technical difficulties. It's time for more talk radio. I'm just going to give you to Cecil Prescott.
Good morning. Today is Monday, March 16th, 2015, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community power radio, 104.3 in Corvallis, 91.9 in Hood River, and 90.7 in Portland, KBOO.FM on the World Wide Web. This is More Talk Radio, and my name is Cecil Charles Prescott. I will be joined by my co-host, Celeste Carey. Before we begin, I think it's an appropriate beginning to share with you an announcement. It's entitled In the Reinvasion of Iraq, 12 Years Later, a visibility action will take place this Thursday, March 19th, 2015, from 4 to 6 p.m. at Northeast Cooch and Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. That's the east side of Burnside. March 19th will mark the 12 years since the devastating U.S. invasion of Iraq. Join this action to call for the U.S. to get out once and for all as troops continue to flow back into the country under the pretext of fighting ISIS. This event is coordinated by Peace and Justice Works Iraq Affinity Group and is co-sponsored by many other Peace and Justice organization. For more information, you may contact Peace and Justice Works Iraq Affinity Group. Their phone number is 503-236-3065, or you may email them at iraq@pjw.info or their website, pjw.info/Iraq. And so that's a reminder for an action this Thursday, March 19th in Portland, protesting the reinvasion of Iraq and calling for the U.S. to once and for all to leave that sovereign country. So how was your weekend? My weekend was full of excitement and many different activities. On Saturday, I was part of a training team that presented before a group of up-and-coming organizers at PAF, Portland African American Leadership Forum. So after that training event on Saturday, I relaxed by attending a performance of Confluence Chorus in Portland. Then on Sunday, I went to my regular position and taught a Sunday school class of 8 and 10 years old on Cesar Chavez, helped plan a Earth Day worship service, and then I vegged out by watching political intrigue dramas on television. This morning, we want to talk about activism, how you are or may not be an activist. This topic was prompted by a post on social media by my friend Melinda Pittman. She asked people to share how they became activists. And so I thought that it might be a good time to reflect together on how do you describe your activism? What issues motivate your interest into activism? And if you do not consider yourself an activist, why not? In all cases, how do you take care of yourself? Our phone numbers are 503-231-8187, or you may email us at moretalkradio@gmail.com. Let me read for you a quote from one of my heroes, that's Thomas Merton, who was a Benedictine monk, but also a social critic. And he wrote in part in some of his reflection on activism. He was an active as much as a monk can be, activist as much as a monk can be on social issues during the Vietnam War. He spoke for peace. He spoke for and advocated for civil rights as well. And so he reflected on activism, and he was enabled because to spend a lot of time in reflection because of his profession as a monk. He wrote in part, there is a pervasive form of contemporary violence to which the idealist must easily succumbs, activism and overwork. The rush and pressure of modern life are a form, perhaps the most common form, of innate violence. To allow oneself to be carried away by a multitude of conflicting concerns, to surrender to too many demands, to commit oneself to too many projects, to want to help everyone and everything, is to destroy the fruitfulness of our own work, because it kills the root of inner wisdom which makes work fruitful. That's a quote from Thomas Merton from his book, Conjectures of a Guilty Bystander. And Celeste, I know you spent your weekend in some activism.
Some strategic planning for my union local. And I was chuckling over that be everywhere at once. I'd heard a quote years ago, if you're everywhere all the time, you're nowhere at any time. And also the point about spreading yourself thin in conflicting interests and how it kills a root of inner wisdom. And, you know, one of the problems for activism is that in many ways they're not conflicting issues or activities. They are confluent, which is why we feel that it's necessary to do them, because we see them as all either intersecting or at least having moments of tangentiality, you know, when they're tangential, they're close, they touch each other. And so we see it sometimes as being part of a larger whole. And we think we have to do these things all at once. This big trunk, this big nexus must be done. So that rather than kill the root of inner wisdom, I see it killing the root of inner repose and reflection that lets you really think about what you're doing, how you're killing yourself. I've got that. Yes, I suffered. As a matter of fact, part of my challenge today is I don't have my specs, so I can't really see close at hand. I have to look at things far off.
I think that's symbolic.
Yes.
Of maybe an approach to life for a balanced life.
Absolutely. And so we want to encourage you to call. And we have some other points that we may touch upon that are tangential to this particular topic. But do call at 503-231-8187 and talk with us. Good morning.
Yes, hello.
Good morning, Joanne.
Yes, I don't get... I'm not an activist anymore, mainly because of my health and energy, but also because these organizers who want you to get involved, they will not give telephone numbers so that you can get involved. They want you to use the computer and website. But thank you for listening.
Okay.
She made 2 points I would like us. One is she mentioned that she's no longer an activist because of health concerns.
Mm-hmm.
And then she also mentioned the difficulties or the differences in terms of organizing and how do you engage with people. So, you know, with technology becomes new methods and new ways of communicating. And sometimes we move on and perhaps leave some people behind.
Quite a few people behind. And I think it's... I think it's a misconception to assume that even it's a generational thing. I know a lot of younger activists, and we talked about this weekend, you know, have different modes of technology and communicating. And I think it really behooves all of us generationally to learn each other's technology. It's one of the other things we talked about is doing training so people learn the basics of Skype and Twitter and Facebook so that they can connect, but never lose that really organic connection of face-to-face or minimally telephone, because our voices... I'm sorry, look, I'm like one of these quantum physics folks.
Yes.
Voices connect us in an organic fashion, even if you're not face-to-face. It causes biochemical changes in our body and our mind that both ground us and connect us. And when you're just looking at something visually and it's generally a black and white or red and white or blue and white, whatever text, that doesn't have that same organic biochemical connection. And if we really want to have some longevity and some energy that keeps us moving forward and kind of connects us and makes us healthy, we have to remember that. I mean, you know, some of us got all these new modern things like chronic fatigue or adrenal failure or what do they call it? This is not the right word phrase. Situational depression from just kind of like feeling defeated or overwhelmed. And it's that connection that kind of helps strengthen us. You know, a hug.
Yes.
Low tech, but just miraculous.
So give us a call at 503-231-8187 or email us at moretalkradio@gmail.com. And as you were explaining in terms of your activities this weekend and different ways of connecting, and also how you feel the importance of low tech or of human contact is so important, do you sense that sometimes, as Joanne, well, I don't want to speak for Joanne, but do you sense that sometimes that because we have so many different ways of communicating, that there seems to be more pressure upon us to always be present? Do we ever take time to be off or to turn off the communication device? And because it seems to me that there's always a need, more so than maybe 20 years ago,
To be on
and to be connected. And have you ever felt that? And if so, how do you respond to that? And then if not,
Now, you know, I'd like to put that out there as a question also that people can choose to answer instead of, you know, more the first one. For me, I will disconnect, and I have to disconnect. You know, I have an interesting constellation of challenges. One of those includes, or rather it includes ADD, adult ADD, and, well, no, I've had ADD since I was a kid, but and in the past about 20 some odd years, fibromyalgia. So my body says, I'm done. Yes. The brain says, I'm going somewhere. So if they're at odds with, you know, and I'm not integrated, I will shut off. And sometimes that's from too much stimulus. But I wonder sometimes, and young people, please, please call in and weigh in on this. If that's one of the reasons why sometimes younger people disconnect, is not so much the lack of wanting to connect with people, but being overstimulated by technology. You know, you can only listen to so much music while you're tweeting and trying to scan Facebook to look, and then you may feel sated, or you may feel overwhelmed and need to disconnect. If I have to disconnect anything, it will be the technology, because that artificial stimulus, again, I go back to the quantum basis of health. If I'm not connected to another human being, I don't feel healthy. I just don't. Mm. You know, but in terms of our work as activists, it has to have an organic connection to it, or we're missing the point. We're working for something that has life, so that it has a more meaningful life. It improves the quality of life. So it seems to me a no-brainer that you want to connect with that life more so than the technology. And for a Benedictine monk to have recognized that is significant. The fact that he didn't necessarily offer a suggestion for, or maybe he did, a solution. Yes. See if he's got a solution there.
Well, I think part of one thing I like about Thomas Merton is because he was an observer of, well, for then, contemporary society, mm-hmm. Mostly in the 50s and 60s. But what he recognized, and I was reading through Conjecture of a Guilty Bystander earlier this morning, was he made some observation about technology. And, you know, technology was different in 1965.
Not as pervasive or invasive.
But what he recognized was its potential to become even more invasive and pervasive, mm-hmm. and caution us to be wary of it. And he, I think, quite accurately talked about the violence surrounding much of technology.
How did he define that violence?
I think he defined it both what it does, how it breaks up human community, mm-hmm. Something you touch upon, and also internal violence. It impacts the human soul in such a way that we are disconnected from ourselves and from who we are meant to be by technology sometimes. And so what he was calling for, and what I suspect, since he was a Benedictine monk, was the call to time for reflection, either as an individual or in community, to not only to recharge your batteries, but also to center yourself.
So one of the questions then I think is really important for us to look at as we're talking about activism and how you maintain that spirit of inspiration and reflection and connection so that you can remain active is how do you use technology in your activism to make sure that you have that organic connection so that you remain grounded and reflective and energized. So join us in the conversation, 503-231-8187. And one of the things that I think is a perfect example is the announcement you made at the beginning. Now, there's some elements in there that speak to the ongoing challenge of both being present in a protest for a point of perspective that seems to be more of a David in the face of a Goliath, yes. And then the fact that it not only is it ongoing, not only is it big and looming, but it seems to take on a really, I don't even know how to say the I can't get the concept, I can see it, but I can't say it, kind of the draining idea that no matter how much you put into this, it expands to overwhelm the collective protest. And so, like, we're looking at this, we're talking about 12 years past the initial invasion.
The second invasion.
Excuse me, the second invasion.
And actually, so like 25 years almost since Bush 41 mm-hmm. in 1991.
And so you look at this, and we're talking about in the second, you know, reinvasion, which would make it like three almost. And how do you stay active about this when, for the most part, we like to think that we can have an action and it addresses something and it finishes or creates a solution. And this is one of those ongoing things. It's kind of like, what was the war? Was it, I'm trying to separate my books. I'm having a problem here because I'm conflating Animal Form and 1984 here. And one of them had the war that had lasted forever. Mm-hmm. And I think it had to be in 1984. My brain won't separate them, but you know they had the
endless war.
That's the name I was looking for. Yes, and so we're looking at that, and we get tired. Maybe now we want to stop fighting for that and work on wages or something else. And how do you not feel as though you're looking at a very deliberate dynamic to suck your energy dry? How do you stay active and optimistic in the face of all of this?
Our numbers are 503-231-8187 or moretalkradio@gmail.com. And how do you define yourself? Are you an activist? And if so, how do you maintain your sanity? And if you're no longer an activist, why not? Celeste, you were just talking about the endless war and how it seems to go on forever and ever. And, you know, I wonder how people who either remain focused on a particular issue or cause over years or decades even, how do they maintain their spirit, their center? You know, this is month we celebrate Women's History Month, and it seems...
Thank you for saying month.
Well, yeah, isn't it Women's History Month?
Everybody else has told me day. Oh. Thank you. I'm trying to... Now, maybe it is month by now.
I think it is month.
Thank God.
Well, it's just 1 month out of 12, but...
Yeah.
So for example, Women's History Month, and I was reading earlier last week about early feminists in the 19th century in America, and some of the issues that they were talking about, and such as in terms of asserting women's independence from men and be able to make decisions for themselves. Mm-hmm. And so, for example, one issue might be reproductive rights, which had been going on forever. And it seems as if, for example, that just when things seem to be settled, things aren't. So even acknowledging that people might have different opinions about abortion, it would seem to me that the issue of contraceptives is a settled one. But it, apparently it's not, because people are protesting the Affordable Care Act and saying that their religious freedom are being violated because insurers don't want to...
they don't want to pay for it.
Birth control.
Which, right.
I don't understand.
Well,
and so the battle continues.
The battle continues
and over. So how do you maintain your inspiration? Our numbers are 503-231-8187.
And don't be afraid to call. This may seem like either a soft topic, but or a slightly irrelevant topic. But given that, number one, KBOO is a news and activism facility and organization, you know, we really want to pull in and share ideas so we can create that ongoing source of energy that keeps us activated. Don't be afraid to call in thinking, I'm tired, I don't want to be active.
Such as our next caller.
Francis. Good morning, Francis.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hello.
It's been my observation that the best or the most powerful leaders are those who are dealing with an issue that is, for them, comes from the heart. They didn't look for something to become active.
Mm-hmm.
It was there already. And for people like that, which I wouldn't count, I'm not a leader per se, but as far as being involved, the issue is constant. It is there. It never goes away. Your response to it is coming from heartfelt feelings about injustice or whatever. And so it never goes away. You step back, and maybe a lot of people step back to try to find another venue, another way to deal with this injustice, but it never goes away.
Well, that would seem to be a case for fatigue, though, wouldn't it, Francis?
Well, that's why people step back.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I do, mm-hmm. because it's really the most disheartening, I think, is to see that you have to play it over and over. And the information is out there, and people see it but choose to disregard or pretend they don't see it. I think that's the hardest, is a lot of people I encounter who just don't want to know, don't want to see, don't want to deal with it. Maybe because it's too ugly to really look at, the injustices that have taken place in this country alone. And but as far as losing that activism in your heart, that never goes away. It's probably stressful, though. I know it is for me, because every day that goes by, in some regard, I am fully conscious and aware.
Yes.
Of the injustice continuing every day. And in some ways, people get tired of hearing it from me, because I always go there in my conversations or whatever. But I can't, if you can't ignore it, if you really feel it, you cannot ignore it. There's no way to ignore it.
Well, you can't ignore it, because it's still rubbing on you.
Right.
So how
all
do you
day long.
How do you anyway, get some, how do you get some distance from it, Francis, and get some rest so that you can at least feel like you were either have an opportunity to just heal as a human being, or you can rest so that you can be energized to get back into the battle? How do you do that?
Well, friends and family help a lot. You know, just being around people that you love and care about. But, and Mother Nature, you know, she's pretty good at it.
Hello, the garden.
For real. And also, I've been threatening to go to the desert, because I got to finish writing. I've been writing, and I don't write, because it's like I think when I start, it'll never stop. So I have to get somewhere where I can do that.
Well, you know,
and
can I give you a suggestion?
I have all these little apron strings pulling at me. Huh?
I want to make a suggestion. I don't know if you've ever been to Death Valley, but that's where I like to go. I like to go see God's creations with not a lot of people and building. Well, I love the people, but not the buildings. So, you know, go check out Death Valley or Mojave Desert. I think you'll like them.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. Mojave would be.
Mm-hmm.
My grandfather took me down there a long time ago. I was a teenager, and I won't keep you, but he was Native, and he didn't talk a lot, but he wanted me to see the desert. He loved the desert. And one night he stopped the car. All of a sudden it didn't run, really. It ran, but he was working on it up front. I got out of the car and it was dark.
Mm.
There was no cars on the highway.
Mm-hmm.
I could hear all these creatures. I said, "Oh my God, there's all kinds of animals out here." And he said, "Yeah, but the desert has something about it. I don't know what it is, but it helps your brain."
Yes, it does.
Anyway. Mm-hmm. Talk to you later.
Thank you for your call.
Bye-bye.
I appreciate Francis and you mentioning the desert.
Mm-hmm.
To go back to Thomas Merton, and maybe that's my inspiration for these last few days. But there is certainly a tradition within the Christian tradition of the wisdom of the desert fathers and desert mothers. There was a time after Rome collapsed, and it seems as if things were just going very crazy, that there were people who went to the desert to be alone.
Mm-hmm.
And
or were forced to the desert.
Or forced to the desert. But as they went into the desert, people found them and went to them and wanted to know what was it about them. The people knew that there was some wisdom that these people who separated themselves for a time in the wilderness, which is a good thing. You know, sometimes we think of wilderness as something scary, but for these people, the wilderness was a place of nurture and rediscovery. So let me point to a book by Thomas Merton before we go to our next caller, and that is The Wisdom of the Desert, also by Thomas Merton.
As we look over there at the screen and we see a desert scene, there's actually a little painted canyon that's in,
yes,
Death Valley that looks a lot like that. And I like to go to the desert or to very open beaches that don't have any development around them, because there is space for divine presence and there's no human ego in the way. And I think that's one of the things that kind of helps us gain really important, and I'll call it organic perspective, organic distance. But let's go to our next caller. Edie, good morning.
Good morning. I would like to give to you and our listeners some names of some books that address the issue, how do we maintain our hope, our energy, and our effectiveness as activists. We have to feed our soul. And how do we do that, especially when a lot of religions are anti that? So can I give you some names and books?
Definitely.
Can you give me just a second to get my pen and paper ready, because I'm writing this down. Okay, I'm ready.
Okay.
First book, Soul of a Citizen, Living with Conviction in a Cynical Time.
Living with Conviction in a Cynical Time. I love that. And you know what's so funny about
it's
that? I'm sure everybody thought it was cynical at their time.
By Paul Loeb. Soul of the Citizen, Living with Conviction in a Cynical Time by Paul Loeb. Next book, Occupy Spirituality, A Radical Vision for a New Generation. Yes, the old man, the Catholic liberation theologist, Matthew Fox, and the young guy, Adam Bucko.
Adam, last name again?
Adam Bucko and Matthew Fox.
Okay.
And how do you spell Bucko?
B-U-C-K-O.
Okay.
Occupy Spirituality, A Radical Vision for a New Generation. Third book, The Left Hand of God, Healing America's Political and Spiritual Crisis.
Favorite. One of my favorites.
Mm-hmm. We've actually had him on the show.
By Michael Lerner, L-E-R-N-E-R.
Okay, next.
Stand for Something, The Battle for America's Soul. By John Kasich. And there's a series of books. They started writing them in the 60s. sort of a series of different books, Counting for Peace and Justice, Educating for Peace and Justice, etc. Kathleen and Jim McGinnis, McGinnis.
Okay.
They did a lot of, like 30 years, 30 plus years now. More than that. And then The Great Awakening, Reviving Faith and Politics in a Post-Religious Right America.
Another favorite author.
Again, it's The Great Awakening, Reviving Faith and Politics in a Post-Religious Right America by Jim Wallis, W-A-L-L-I-S.
Another former guest on the show. And let's see. I'm trying to figure out, is there any way you might be able to email us these at either our page on KBOO or through moretalkradio@gmail.com?
And then I wish, but I cannot. My landlord is Housing Authority of Portland Home Forward, spraying a bunch of Roundup and other pesticides right now and for the rest of the week. And so I have to do what I can to secure my organic garden and then go somewhere else for over a week where I don't have internet access.
Oh, I take it you have a sensitivity to the pesticide.
True.
You know, it's really important for residents in those properties to get together and let their landlord, Home Forward, know that they have these sensitivities because they need to consider different.
Most of the folks are only there. You can only be there if you've been proven low income. Most people are low income because of disabilities. Most disabilities are because of domestic violence or police brutality. And most
there's others as well. I've worked with a lot of people who live in Home Forward.
So, maybe where I'm talking about where I live. And so the management will have doctor's notes saying don't.
Well, I was thinking of more of a collective thing, but I don't want to get too far afield. But okay, so, I do want to thank you for these books, so we'll try to post them.
Jim and Kathleen McGinnis have been saying the way that we keep up the spirit is that we integrate it where we're at. Your parent, your family meetings and discussions, how you deal with discipline, but every day, morning and evening and mealtime and before a project and after a project, spend that time in gratitude and regrounding what is the purpose. And behind it's always love or fear that we do anything. And then connect with your For me, it's nature and God, and connect with at least one other human being, and then connect that to the actions that are doable for you, and start little bit by little bit, and remind yourself all the time throughout history, just like parenting, it's a lot of work, it's going to be a long time, and there's no guarantee that someone else is going to do what you want, but you have integrity to your own values, and you keep it up. And you remember that, we've been fighting this fight for over 10,000 years, and we can still have integrity and hope and joy. And take time, which I don't do very well, of playing.
Yes.
Celebrating and having, enjoying the little progress. And let's not fight among ourselves in you're the wrong kind of anarchist or whatever. Mm-hmm. That we need to be what we want as opposed to dividing, conquer, cynicism, fear. And then the last thing that you do is, and I'm not good at this, have that integrity with the body. Like have your bare feet on the ground or, eat healthy organic food, local food, or drink enough water, or get enough sleep, turn off those little electronic devices in your bedroom before sleep, those. Take care of your body, which incorporates the sense of taking care of the earth and the society. And so we keep it grounded. And we keep, like when you teach preschool and kindergarten, you kind of keep everything balanced. You don't just do one thing one way. And Joanne, I want to tell you that while you may be labeled ADD, I'm a special educator, would label you as talented and gifted with that energy and that love and that idealism and that intensity and that sensitivity and that reactivity, that all is a gift toolbox that helps you do the awesome things you've been doing. You are not too sensitive. You are not too active. You are not too much. Our society is too little.
Well, thank you. Actually, I'm Celeste, but I'm actually Celeste, but thank you. I feel like I am. I look at my twin gifts of ADD and Asperger's as a gift that gives me a really unique and valuable perspective on life and being an out-of-the-box thinker. And so but I laugh sometimes because there are folks who don't know how to value those gifts.
I'm so glad you said the word Asperger's. Well, I'm going to hang up, but I just love you all.
Well, thank you so much. And thank you for these gifts. And we'll try to get them posted for folks so that they can find them and take joy in them.
Goodbye. And you are listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland. Coming up at 9 is the OMO Variety Hour, a program of social political commentary from a socialist feminist point of view at 10:15.
Not activist? Okay, I'm being mischievous.
And mischievous, which is good because it reminds us something that Carla was sharing, to be playful.
I am. It doesn't always get me good points, but I am. I can't help it.
So at 10 is Air Cascadia with Chris Andre. 10:15, Locus Focus. Barbara Bernstein speak with climate scientist Adam Sobel about what Hurricane Sandy means for the future of our planet 2 years after the megastorm that destroyed a lot in the Northeast. They'll discuss Sobel's new book, Storm Surge, Hurricane Sandy, Our Changing Climate, and the Extreme Weather of the Past and the Future. At 11 is Health Watch with David Naiman. His guest will be Dr. Sarah Gottfried. They will discuss the hormone reset diet. Dr. Gottfried's solution to hormone imbalances, which can lead to weight gain, food addiction, sugar craving, and difficulty losing weight. At 11:30 is the Radio Zine. Host Stephanie Potter will speak with Jane Miller, founder of Oregon Cougar Action Team. Miller is urging the Oregon Legislature and the Oregon Department of Wildlife to support a cougar management plan that respects voters' opposition to hunting cougars with hounds. All this on your community radio station, KBOO Portland. Right now, you're listening to More Talk Radio. We're speaking about activism. How do you balance activism in your life? Our numbers are 503-231-8187 or email us at moretalkradio@gmail.com.
And I want to hear from some younger activists as well. And, I think we're just going to have to succumb to tweeting to them.
Okay, we'll do that. So, LJ, do you tweet?
Hello, how are you?
Fine. Do you tweet, LJ?
I don't know. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay, that was the answer right there.
I am what was referred to as a Luddite. I am talking to my good old-fashioned rotary phone.
But you're talking on a phone, LJ.
I am talking on a phone.
With electricity.
We are not talking on tin cans or anything.
I'm going to mess with you here. No, you're not a Luddite.
Yeah. But anyway, we're talking about activism and communication. Anyway, as you may or may not know, I'm with the Elders Caucus of the Occupy movement. We still meet on the first and third Fridays of every month, and the second and fourth Fridays we also do an informal kind of discussion group. As far as communication is concerned, we do some electronics, but we also do have the good old-fashioned telephone tree, if you guys remember that.
Oh, I still telephone preach tree. That as part of my training. Yeah, it's called call somebody. And generally we say if you get an answer machine, leave a message and call until you get a live person. But it's a form of sharing information.
Yeah, anyway, that's we are still activists. I'm coming up on 75 years old. I've been an activist most of my adult life. And there's an interconnection between all of the issues that we face today. All right?
Yes.
I'm just going to do a little plug here. On Wednesday, March the 25th, at the Multnomah Friends Meeting House, 4312 Southeast Stark, we're going to be showing the film Arresting Power. Resisting Police Violence in Portland, Oregon. This is and it's from 7 to 9. We will be showing the film, and there will be a discussion followed, a Q&A. One of the producers of the film will be there, and we're going to just open up the whole discussion thing. So,
okay, LJ,
and just one more thing, Steve.
Yeah, I want to ask you a couple of questions.
Everybody's welcome. Nobody will be turned away for lack of funds. So if you're kind of broke, don't worry about it. We aren't going to charge you anyway. It's more of a donation kind of thing.
LJ, can I ask a question?
Sure.
First, is this something that you're going to try to get out to various parts of our metropolitan area? Because I'm thinking that it's a good movie to see, but is it going to be a wider distribution so that all communities can take advantage of perspectives that are shown there and discuss, you know, just various ways of coming up with tactics and solutions?
Oh, geez, Celeste, I do not have an answer to that question. I do know it's been shown a couple of times.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I think it was shown at the Hollywood a little while ago.
Yes, it was a little while ago. Okay, good.
Yeah, and this is going to be a little different spin because there will be a discussion and a Q&A after the film is aired.
Okay, because that's one of the things that my wheels were turning.
And we do have, the Elders Caucus does have quite an extensive, dare I say it, email list, and so we're going to put it out there.
Yes.
Okay.
And so hopefully we'll get a lot of response to this.
Okay.
Because we cannot keep on going the way we're going. Cecil and Celeste, three members of the Portland City Council decided for us that we should become part of the Joint Terrorism Task Force yet again. And I don't understand the reason for it, but I guess Charlie Hales, Nick Fish, and Dan Saltzman must see some value in this.
So, LJ, a couple of questions. You mentioned that the Elders Caucus meets twice a month. Tell us where they meet. And the second question, because you are an Elders Caucus, what advice can you give to, what keeps you going on? And what advice you can give to those who are either newer or younger activists to not lose hope? So, first, where do you meet and what time?
Okay, we meet from 3 to 5 at the Friends Multnomah meeting, at the meeting house.
Okay, so right here in the heart of town.
Yeah.
Good,
4312 Southeast Stark Street.
Okay.
Right. The problem with us older folks is we can't give up hope. That would mean that we're defeated, right? And also, we've been meeting over time, so we have also developed an affinity group.
Yes.
As a result of this,
a community.
We try and network with other activist communities. We were recently involved with the Black Hand Hands Up, Don't Shoot movement here in Portland. We do a lot of support for R2D2. We've been supplying them with sleeping bags and other items that they need.
And for those listening, R2D2 is the establishment Right to Dream too.
Right. So we've been very supportive of them. We've been trying to develop a network, because again, it's although there are different issues, they're all connected.
Yes.
So anyway, and to the young folks, develop an affinity for each other, love each other, respect each other, and if you're sitting in the same room with somebody, you don't have to send them a text message. You can talk to them face to face.
Yeah, that organic connection is important.
Very, very important. That,
which is one reason why you're a Luddite, and quite possibly why you're long-lived. Who knows?
Oh, well, I'm
just throwing it out there. I'm just saying, you know.
Great. Anyway, thank you for the dialogue. Thank you for the show. You guys are always right on the money.
Well, thank you for the call.
And to you, regular KBOO listeners, you're only going to hear this kind of programming on KBOO. So sit down and cut a check.
Thank you.
Take care. Have a great day.
You too.
Right,
thank
bye-bye.
You.
Yeah, I love that plug. You know, I wanted to kind of say this, and the little mischievous part of me popped right out. You know, when LJ was saying, you know, well, we're elders and we can't give up. Right in there is both a riddle and the answer. And we're talking about remaining active as an activist. And there's the fact that if you have managed to live, you don't give up hope because you have lived a long time. And that's based partially on hope and expectation. And remaining hopeful and knowing the importance of organic connection to other organic beings and conditions is one thing that I've heard repeated, whether it be family, friends, gardening, or just human connection and human in human endeavors. So younger folks and those who are more technology oriented, don't forget people.
Don't forget people. That is so important. And one thing that I heard from LJ and from the earlier caller was the importance of community.
Mm-hmm.
To recognize that one of the ways in which we are empowered, but also by which we are held accountable and we can take care of one another, is by community. So however you define community, it's important to have that. Because I don't think any activist will be there for the long haul without community. And so I hope that people not only are activists, which for me implies someone who is doing actions,
mm-hmm.
As opposed to an organizer, which is someone who builds community, which is something that can...
They can intersect.
Yes. But I think mm-hmm. I think it's important to as LJ suggested in the earlier caller as well, the importance of community mm-hmm. in our lives as one way to sustain our spirit for what LJ mentioned is long haul.
And that's another theme that's gone through. You know, I want to point out a couple of things also, and also offer up a definition. When we talk about community, sometimes it seems such an abstract term, but if we were to break it down in just something really, really basic, kind of no-brainer language, it's not just like-minded people, but it's people that you like and who like the same things that you like. So it can be family, and some of us are blessed to have those kind of connections with family. And then if it's not your family of birth, it's your family of choice. Your friends may not have all of the same beliefs and values you do, but those people with whom you work for various causes are also your community and your family. So, you know, just it doesn't have to be a real exalted term, you know, just those people that you like who like the things that you like to do.
And also, Yes, and also, as in any family, there sometimes there are things
that you don't like,
don't like, and you don't get along.
Mm-hmm.
But you remain a community. Let me suggest one other book, but someone we spoke to a while ago, which is I think will help us. The Impossible Will Take a Little While.
Another guest,
A Citizen's Guide to In a Time of Fear by Paul Loeb. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. And we will go to our next caller in a moment. Our engineer is focused. Okay, good morning.
Good morning, Bob. Yoo-hoo. Bob?
There we go. Hey, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey there. Excellent show. I like the way you guys make us think. And you don't beat us up with the subject. It makes us think about how to be, how we are, and introvertly. What I do with technology, like the lady says, she does her week-long vacations. She just goes somewhere where there's no internet. Because I'm kind of like her. If there's a connection somewhere, I can't be unconnected for too long.
Yes.
Eventually, I'll have to plug in, you know, see what's going on, your post or Facebook or something. But one thing that I've learned in the last couple of years is I've learned to appreciate silence.
Yes.
Silence is so because we are so busy. A lot of us are living a busy world, and we're busy because we want to be, and we kind of have to be, too, because if you're not busy, you might get run over by life. So
yes.
You got to keep connected, keep doing things, but I've appreciated the silence in the world. And as far as activism is concerned, how do we balance our activism and our lives? Well, for me, myself, I'm getting older now. I've got a couple of years left to retirement, and I can't be an activist and work on my retirement at the same time. I cannot. And
yes.
There might be other callers listening and not calling because of that. But I can still be just barely active. But I'm working on my retirement now. I can't go to the rallies. I can't go to the meetings because I'm busy working and I'm getting ready for retirement. But I'll be back. Just wait till my Social Security checks start coming in. You'll see me.
All right.
All right.
I like
thank
that.
Y'all.
All righty.
Thank you. And I think one of the points he made in terms of there's different seasons in our lives,
mm-hmm.
and they are all important. And
and to be aware of them and don't be embarrassed by them.
No.
It's a necessity of life. You accomplish something and then you move on, or you make yourself stable to then do what you need to do. And so those folks who won't be activists right now but plan to be later, keep on keeping on. You're doing what you need to do to get yourself ready for your battles and your challenges and your successes in life. Well, I want to point out one thing, and I think that since this is Monday, it's not like I'm ignoring anything else that was said because it was all sage wisdom, and this will be podcast, but that is play.
Play.
Have some joy. Indulge in the playful, joyous gratitude and connection with life and other folks. Now, I see the phone flashing. Is that another call for us? I can't tell.
But one thing I want to add on to what Bob said,
mm-hmm.
was the importance of silence. See, we come back to Thomas Merton,
mm-hmm.
And the importance of just silence. And sometimes we're afraid of that because we're not used to it.
It seems like we're not doing anything.
Not doing anything, but just being. And one can be nurtured and renewed by silence.
Yes.
But
find your space. Even if as a parent you have to go hide in the closet or put a sheet
yes.
over your head, you know, find your moment of silence. And how do you know when things are quiet enough? You will hear your heart beating. You will feel your blood and hear your blood rushing through your body, feeding you and nurturing you. So find some place where you can just be silent, be with yourself, quiet your mind, and have some fun. And we'll hear you next week.
This is More Talk Radio. I'm Cecil Prescott.
I'm Celeste Carey. And be yourself. Like Oscar Wilde said, everyone else is taken.
Tune in to Ear to the Streets of Portland on March 19th for an interview with special guest Bay Area recording artist Goapele, who will be performing at this year's KBOO-sponsored event, Sold Out Music Festival, on April 15th. It's a night of special guests and performances on Ear to the Streets of Portland with Goapele and local artists Arietta Ward and friends, March 19th, starting at 7 o'clock p.m. right here on your community radio station, KBOO. Tune in online at kboo.fm, on your mobile phone at m.kboo.fm, and follow KBOO on Instagram at KBOO Radio and Twitter at KBOO.
Tune in to Ear to the Streets of Portland.
I wish I was a mole in the ground. Yes, I wish I was a mole in the ground.